We're holding on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. So now for here and the next few blats, we've been talking about chametz all this time. So now it's time to talk about matzah, about what species of grain can be used to make matzah and about the dinim of baking matzah in general. Of course, it is going to relate a lot to chametz. There's a famous expression that goes that there's nothing as close to chametz as matzah, because out of all the things that we eat nowadays on Pesach, matzah is the one that is most susceptible to becoming chametz. And we're going to see in the Gemara, that's the halacha. Only things that can be chametz are things that can be used for matzah, as we're going to get into. So therefore, it's a natural thing after discussing chametz to discuss the details of what's involved in making matzah. So the Mishnah says, the following species are the things with which a person can be yotze the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach. We know the first night there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. The rest of the time during Pesach, there's not really a mitzvah to eat matzah per se. It's just if you want to eat bread, it has to be matzah, but you don't have to at all. You could eat fruit or meat or eggs or what have you. But the first night you have to eat matzah. We're going to learn, by the way, at the end of the Masechta, there's machloikas whether it's daraisa or derabanan nowadays. Everybody agrees when there's no korban Pesach, then murder is only a derabanan. We're going to get to that later. But matzah, there's machloikas whether matzah is an independent chiyuv, which is daraisa, or whether that's also derabanan. The halacha is like the opinion it's daraisa, which has implications as far as when we talk about the size of a kezias, as far as eating matzah, at least for the first kezias of matzah that we eat with moitzi matzah, it has to be one that's large enough to satisfy a kezias according to as many as possible opinions. Anyway, so the Mishnah is saying the following species you can use to fulfill the mitzvah: bechitim, wheat; besodim, barley; bekustmin, spelt; over shifon, rye; over shibarlis, shuol; and oats. A couple of these, actually, there are different opinions. These are the translations according to Rashi and according to many Rishonim. There are a couple of Rishonim that talk about different other possibilities about the last three, Kusmin, Shifon, and Shibarel Shuol. Kusmin, for example, which we're translating as spelt, the Rambam describes it as a kind of wheat that grows in the desert. As far as oats, for example, Rashi says over here that Rashi translates Shibarel Shuol as avena, which is the Latin and French and whatever word for oats. But you have some poskim argue that maybe oats are not really one of the chameshes haminim at all. Obviously, this is negeya as far as the question of what species you can use for matzah. Lamaisa, the accepted halacha is that there are these five that we mentioned, and therefore, for example, you do have nowadays such a thing as oat matzah for people who have celiac disease or whatever and can't have regular wheat matzah. Okay, but those are the five species. It actually describes whether Shibarlis Shuol literally means the stalk of grain of the fox. Rashi described that the arrangement of the seeds on the stalk resembles the tail of a fox. That's why it's called that. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. The yotzin bidmai. Now you can be yotze as far as the mitzvah of eating matzah with dmai. Even though you have a suffix whether maaser has been taken from it, but nevertheless, if you eat matzah from it without having taken the maaser that you have to be on the safe side, then you still yotze. So we'll see in the Gemara why. Over maaser rishon shenitla truma, so you can also use maaser rishon where the truma has been taken from it. Now the Gemara is going to ask, what's the chiddush in that? Of course, maaser rishon, once trumas maaser has been taken of it, is completely chulin, and anybody is allowed to eat it, the Levi or the Yisrael. So what's the chiddush? We'll see in the Gemara. Over maaser sheni vehekdesh sheniftu, you're also allowed to use maaser sheni or hekdesh that have been redeemed. Again, the Gemara is going to ask, what's the chiddush? Obviously, those are chulin. Vakoinim b'chalo over truma, koinim are allowed to use chalo or truma for their matzah. Now Yisrael is not allowed to. Rashi gives a reason over here based on something the Gemara is going to say later, that only when you have the only isser that you could potentially have with this thing is that if it was made chametz, you're not allowed to eat it on Pesach. Then that's the kind of thing where if it was made not chametz, then you can use it for matzah. But when you have some other isser involved, as over here, Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma or challah, then you can't be yotze matzah with it. Later on in the Gemara, actually, Rashi's going to bring later on in the Gemara another reason why you can't use it. And that is because because of mitzvah bar baveira. So we'll get into when we get to that Gemara, Bess Hashem, we'll talk about the pros and cons, why it may or may not be considered a mitzvah bar baveira. In fact, the Gemara is going to give us another limud. The Gemara is going to give us a limud how we know that you can't use it. So we'll discuss that point then. But anyway, the point is that you can't, Koyanim can use challah or truma, but Yisrael can't. Continues the Mishnah. Avaloi b'tevel, but you're not allowed to use actual tevel. And we'll see in the Gemara what the chiddush of that is. Of course, you're not allowed to eat tevel. Of course, you can't use it. Of course, you can't use it for matzah. V'loi b'maisurishin shalnoi nitla truma. So you can't use maisurishin where the truma was not taken from it. Again, there doesn't seem to be as much of a chiddush in that, because before you take trumas maiser from maisurishin, it's tevel, and the levi is not allowed to eat it. Nobody's allowed to eat it. So again, we'll see in the Gemara. You can't use Maaser Sheni or Hektish that were not redeemed. Again, we'll see Maaser Sheni, what we mean over here is it's outside Yerushalayim. If it's in Yerushalayim, you could use it because you're allowed to eat it over there. But if it's outside Yerushalayim and it wasn't redeemed, then you can't. Again, we'll see in the Gemara what the Chiddush is. Yeah. Continues the Mishnah. Chalos HaToda Rukike Nazir. As far as you have a Korban Toda is brought with 40 loaves of bread, of which 10 of them are chametz and the other 30 are matzah. And similarly, you have a lach, you have a kike nazir, you have a nazir brings together with his korbanos, brings also loaves of bread, where some of them are matzah, where all of them actually are matzah. So asan la'atzmo, so if he made them for himself to use with his korban, so even though he didn't actually shech the korban yet, nevertheless, ein yotze behen, he cannot be yotze the mitzvah of matzah with them for reasons that we'll discuss in the Gemara. Asan limka bashuk, but if he made them to sell them in the market, yotze behen, then you can be yotze in them. Again, we'll see in the Gemara what the difference is. You left your talus here. There it is. You left it here. So the Gemara starts off. Tana, let's define what these species are. We said chitim and sa'odim, we know what those are, wheat and barley, respectively. What are kusmin, shibolas, shual, and shifon? So first of all, tana, we learn in a braisa, kusmin min chitin. Kusmin are spelt, as we translated it, is related to wheat. And shibolas, shual, and shifon, min sa'odim. And shibolas, shual, and shifon, rye and oat, are related to sa'odim. What's the point of what they're related to? Rashi explains it's relevant as far as the dinim of truma. We know that you have to take truma only from the particular species for itself. You can't take from one species on behalf of another one. So therefore, it's important for us to know, therefore, that wheat and spelt, for example, are considered the same species or subspecies, and therefore you could take truma from one on the other. Tosfos says that's not what it's talking about. It's actually talking about the dinim of challah. Now you have like this, if you mix together a bunch of different kinds of flour and make dough from them, there's no question you chayiv and challah, even if it's a mixture of all five. But what if you have, let's say for example, you had a batch of dough made out of one of these five and another batch of dough made out of another one, and then you put them together, and they touched and they bit into each other, meaning like now if you separate them and then some dough from one is going to separate onto the other because they got stuck tightly together. So now, then we have to talk about when do they combine and when not. So if we have chitim with kusmim, then they will be considered to combine for that purpose to make a shiur challah. So if you had a batch of dough, which was half of a shiur challah of wheat and a half a shiur challah made out of kusmim, ran out of spelt, and they touched and there were no shech like that, then you would say that they combined together for a shiur challah. But if let's say you... But in other words, again, Rashi said that the relevance of knowing which one is which subspecies is relevant as far as truma. Tosfos is saying it's relevant as far as challah. On the other hand, if you had, let's say, a dough of wheat flour and a dough of barley flour that were next to each other, even though they were no shech, then nevertheless, we wouldn't combine them together for a shiur challah because they're different species and you don't want them to be together. If you blend it together, some wheat flour and some barley flour, and you made a dough, sure, then it's mitzada for shiur challah. So far as chametz, definitely you're definitely a person is chayev for a kezias of chametz, even if it's mixed together of all the five. There's no question about that. Most of the rishonim and achronim say the same thing is true as far as matzah, that if let's say you had a half a kezias of wheat matzah and a half a kezias of oat matzah or whatever, then you'd be yotze. Minchas Chinuch actually says maybe not. Maybe when we're talking about over here about which ones are subspecies of each other, maybe only a half kazayas of wheat and a half kazayas of spelt would work, because the Gemara is saying over here that they're considered the same species, but maybe not necessarily if you had, let's say, wheat versus oat, where the Gemara is telling us that oats are a subspecies of barley. Now, the Minchas Chinuch wants to say that, but everybody else holds that no, you can combine together, you can be yotzeh matzah, you can be yotzeh matzah with the mitzvah of eating kazayis matzah with some of one and some of another. And as far as chametz, it's definitely a person is chayv to eat some of one and some of the other. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara defines them now with Aramaic terms. Kusmin is what's called an Aramaic gulba, which, as we said, was spelt. Shifon is dishra, which is why Shibolas Shul is called an Aramaic Shvile Tala, which actually just is a literal translation of Shibolas is Shvili and Tala is Shul, but that's what they call it an Aramaic, a similar term to Lashon Kodesh. And as Rashi said, it's called that, it's oats, and it's called that because the stalk of it looks like a fox's tail. You take a look at a picture of an oat field that you can find on Wikipedia, for example, you'll find it kind of resembles the tail of an animal. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, Hani Ein. Now we see from the Mishnah that it mentions only these things that a person can be yotze with, implying only these kinds of grains. Odas v'doichan loy. The implication is you can't be yotze the mitzvah of matzah with odas or doichan. Now most Rishonim, we talked about this before, most Rishonim translate odas as rice and doichan as millet. Rashi in a number of places in Shas translates them rather as odas. Rashi translates odas as millet and doichan as a different species called in English panic grass. So according to Rashi, it comes out that rice is not even under discussion in the Gemara over here. The Alter Rebbe brings it in Hilchos Birkas Hananim and mentions that there are some Rishonim, he doesn't specify who explain that Oiras is millet and Doichan is rice, and therefore that's why we have the suffix of which one the Gemara tells us in Brachas that you say Mizonis on Oiras, but since we're not sure which one is which, is why the Alter Rebbe says you should eat them in a meal of bread, or you eat something Mizonis and something Hadama and something Shakol, and that way you cover all your bases, but yeah. Anyway, if you don't have the other things, then you just say shakol on it, as is usual with a suffix of brachos. Anyway, the point is, since we're saying only these five species, the implication is not odas and doichan. So even though they're grains, so menahani mili, where do we know this from? Rishlokish said, we also learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, v'chein tonet v'eda b'lezman Yaakov, also in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It was a very popular statement, I guess. Omakra, the pasuk says, lois soichal olav chometz, you're not allowed to eat chometz when you bring the Korban Pesach or throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach. Shivas, and the pasuk continues, shivas yomim toichal olav matzahs, for 7 days you should eat matzahs during Pesach. The hekesh between chometz and matzah teaches us dvorim aboim l'dei chimutz, only things that are capable of becoming chometz. Adam yotzban yudei chevasa b'matzah, only those species can a person be yotze the mitzvah of matzah with them. Yotzu elu, as opposed to odas and doichan, she'en boim l'dei chimutz elu l'dei sirchon. Those can never become chometz. Those only become, even if they seem to rise, even if you put yeast in them and they rise, whatever, it's not actually chimutz, it's not fermentation, it's sirchon, it's spoilage. And therefore it's not chimutz. The Rabbi Blumenkrantz always has, and he used to have in his guide, and now after he passed away, his sons still continue to put out the guide, he has an explanation over there involving the science behind it. Basically, chimutz involves that you have there's enzymes in the yeast that act on various kinds of things that you have in the flour in the dough over there, and they consume it, they convert it into carbon dioxide and alcohol, and the alcohol evaporates and the carbon dioxide is what makes it rise. To make a long story short, what happens is in anything other than the chamesha saminim, you don't have the same proteins or enzymes or whatever that the yeasts are going to act on. It's missing one or another of these enzymes, and therefore when the yeasts act on it, they don't cause chimutz. They just cause spoilage, right? So therefore it's not considered chimutz. Which by the way means therefore that according to that, it means you should be able to eat rice and millet and all these other various kinds of things on Pesach. And of course, as we know, the Sfaradim do that. We Ashkenazim don't, not because we're concerned they can become chometz, because we're saying over here they can't. The Gemara is going to bring now an opinion of Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, who says that they can, but the halacha is not like him. However, the problem is they're very similar to grain, and therefore the early Ashkenazic Rabbonim were concerned in the times of the Rishonim, were concerned that if you're allowed to eat them, you may come to eat actual chametz grains themselves. You may not realize the distinction that one becomes chametz and the other one just becomes sirchaim. After all, they look very similar, they're harvested similarly, etc. And that's where the concept of not eating kidneys during Pesach comes from. Even the Sfaradim, by the way, who eat them, of course, they have to check them very carefully to make sure that no actual grains of wheat or barley or whatever got mixed in with them, because if they did, then yeah, those can become chametz.
Now
if you buy them in the store, do you have to check them? Basically, I don't know.
I never saw it. I don't know. In a bag of rice, I never saw something.
Like I never saw, but that doesn't mean there couldn't be. But I don't know. I believe the Sfaradim still have the minhag to check it carefully. Okay, anyway. So the Gemara says, Masnissin deloy kirab yechem nanuri. Okay, well, that means our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. If our Mishnah is telling us that Urdas and Doichan are not usable for matzah, that means it's not like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. Da'ama Urdas min Dagenu, he says that Urdas, whether we translate it as rice or millet, as the case may be, is considered a type of grain, v'chayov en achimotzei karis, and a person would be chayev karis for eating it when it becomes chametz. D'tanya, Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, I'm oser v'Urdas v'Doichan, Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says it's oser with Urdas and Doichan, because it's close to becoming chametz. Now that means, bepashtos, it means that you're not allowed to eat cooked Urdas or Doichan on Pesach, according to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, because they're korev lahachmetz, as we're going to see in a second what that term means. Rashi brings an explanation that maybe Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri means that you're not allowed to bring a korban mincha out of Urdas or Doichan, because a mincha dafka has to be matzah. Most menachas are not allowed to become chametz, and here they're kroivus lahachmetz, which the Gemara is going to say one possibility means they become chametz even faster. However, Rashi says nothing doing. In menachas anyway, almost all menachas have to be made out of wheat, except for the Omer and the Mincha Soter are made out of barley, so there's no Hava Amina to be using Urdas and Doichan from Menachos anyway. So the correct explanation, Rafi says, is that Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri is saying that Urdas and Doichan are able to become Chometz, and in fact, they're Kroibas Lahachmetz, as we're going to talk about in a second, and therefore you can't eat them on Pesach, he says. So, what does that mean? What does that mean? Now, the word korev can mean it becomes faster, or it can mean near. In other words, not quite chametz, but what does it mean? It doesn't mean korev in the sense it's nearer to becoming chametz, as in it'll become chametz faster even than the chameshes aminim. The chameshes aminim, you need a shiur meal, as we're going to learn in the next parak, which is we define that the halacha is 18 minutes. Whereas Urdas and Doichan, according to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, will become chametz even faster than that. But nevertheless, the point is, that would mean that according to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, you could use Urdas and Doichan for matzah. Because again, the rule was, we just said only things that can become chametz can be used for matzah. Very well, Urdas and Doichan can become chametz according to him. But Pashtus, I guess we would say, and obviously he's not arguing with the facts, you know, the kind that Rabbi Blumenkrantz brings about the enzymes and whatever. I mean, they have them or they don't have them. But he would consider the fact that it's missing this particular enzyme doesn't prevent what happens with it, the rising of it, from being considered chimutz.
Took a ride by itself, no?
No, in other words, he would say that if you leave a dough made out of Urdas or Doichan out, eventually it will start rising, because eventually you're going to have yeast from the air will get into it and start acting on it. So the Chachamim will say, to put it in the terms that Rabbi Blumenkrantz puts it, only if the dough contains both of these particular enzymes that the yeasts are going to act on, will it become chametz. Whereas Urdas and Doichan and corn and other such things are missing one of those enzymes. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says, I don't care. You have the other enzyme. That's good enough for it to be considered chibutz. Whereas the Chachamim would be saying you need both. So if you say that, if you say korev lahachmetz means that Urdas and Doichan can become chametz even faster than regular dough, then it means, okay, but if you do it really, really fast, you can make matzah out of it. Or, or maybe he means korev lahachmetz, it's close to chametz, in other words, it's not quite chametz. Chametz gomer lehavi. Maybe Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri would say that it's not complete chametz. It becomes what's called chametz nuksha, as we're going to learn in the next perek, which is also, but a person is not chayev karis for eating chametz nuksha, only for eating real, honest-to-goodness chametz. So therefore, if we say korev lahachmetz means that Urdas and Doichan become almost chametz, but not quite chametz, then that would mean, according to him, you can't use it for matzah. It would also mean that if you ate odas and doichan that became chametz on Pesach, then according to him, a person's not getting kodesh for that because it's not really complete chametz. It's only chametz nuksha. There's only an isur lav on it, as we're going to learn in the next place. That's Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. When Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri uses the words korev lahachmetz, what does he mean? Does it mean it will become real chametz and it happens even faster than the chamesh haminim? Or does he mean it'll never become real chametz? The most it'll become is korev lahachmetz, almost chametz. So what does he mean? So Toshma, the Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, we learn in another braisa, Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says, Oda is min dogan, who Oda is considered a type of grain, lahalacha, v'chayoven achimutze kores, a person is chayv kores for eating if it's chametz, so we see that he means that it can become actual chametz. V'odam yotze v'yidei chayvase v'pesach, and a person can be yotze, the mitzvah of matzah, by eating matzah made out of odas on Pesach. So there you go. According to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, when he says korev lahachmetz, what he means is the first possibility. He means that it's able to become chametz even faster than regular grain. So if it takes a dough of wheat, let's say 18 minutes to become chametz, then according to him, a dough of rice or whatever odas is exactly would take maybe 15 minutes, let's say. But you could conceivably make matzah out of it. But if you, but if instead it became chametz, then the person would be chayev kores. Also, we see Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says karmis chayevus machala, that there's also a grain called karmis, which we're going to define in a second, which is chayev and chala, which means he considers that also to be a type of dogon. So therefore, so by the same token, the same way as he says karmis is considered dogon as far as halacha, odas would be the same thing. So my karmis. Amar Abaye shitza nisa. So Abaye says karmis is what's called shitza nisa. Well, what is my shitza nisa? What does that mean? Amar Apapa specifically, in other words, the word Yaakov Emden, I think it is, points out the word shitza nisa generally means something like weeds. So it means some kind of weed that grow. But what kind of weed? There's a lot of kind of weeds out there. So the Papa defines it means shitza nisa dem shtacha bene kalamisa. It means specifically the type that grow among the poppy plants. So you have poppy plants, you get poppy seeds from them. Oh. So among them, there grows a certain kind of plant. Rashi gives two explanations. One is that it's a plant that's called nowadays caraway. Sometimes you have like rye bread, for example, sometimes sold with these little black curved seeds on it. They're called ketzach in Hebrew. They're called caraway or black cumin or something like that in English. A second explanation actually says it's a kind of weed that grows in fields of rye plants. Whatever it is, Rabbi Yechon, that's called karmis in Hebrew. Yeah, you could eat it. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says it's possible to make a flour out of it. And Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says that kind of flour is considered dogon. It's considered actual grain lahalocha. Yeah. Okay, again, the halocha is not like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. Only the chamesh haminim are usable for matzah. Only the chamesh haminim can become chametz. No others. So all the others, that's the thing. So all these other ones. So la halacha, they would be as technical halacha, they would be mutter on Pesach. We Ashkenazim, we're noig and kidneyous, and therefore we avoid any of these kinds of things that are at all similar or adjacent or whatever to grain. Which of course, me, this is why we have so many things that we Ashkenazim don't eat on Pesach, but the Sfaradim do. Yeah. Okay. Next, the Gemara tells. Yeah, so far we've been talking about the species that you can use for matzah. Now let's talk about, to make dough, you need flour and you also need some kind of liquid. So now let's talk about what kind of liquid you can use for making matzah. So the Gemara starts off, Omer Rabba bar Rachana Omer Shlokish, Isa Shini Loisha B'yayin V'shemen Udvash, dough that was kneaded with wine or oil or honey, Ein chayav and achimutza kores. A person is not chayav for eating it. A person is not chayav kores for eating it, even though it became chametz. Because as the Gemara is going to talk about later, mei peres ein machmitzin. Fruit juice, and fruit juice means basically anything other than water, cannot, dough will not become chametz with it. Again, to put it in the terms that Rabbi Blumenkrantz mentions in his guide, the idea is, the scientific idea behind it is that these the enzymes in the yeast that act on the dough and then create carbon dioxide and alcohol and whatever, that when there's a high concentration of acid, as you find in many, many fruit juices, then they can't operate as effectively. So therefore you have the same kind of thing that therefore it doesn't become real chametz.
So someone made from flour with
so in principle, if you use flour with
real
matzahs, we're going to talk about in a minute. Matzahs, well, matzahs mitzvah, we're going to talk about in a minute. Technically, we're saying over here it would not become chametz. However, it's not so simple, as we're going to talk about further on. First of all, you have the situation, what if there's a little bit of water in there, as we're going to talk about. Second of all, you have Rishonim who learn that when the Gemara says over here, you're not chayev kares, fine, you're not chayev kares, because it's not full-fledged chametz, but it's still chametz nuksha. It's still, there's still a lav on it. So therefore, it could still be that it's still also daraisa, just not a chayev kares.
So if you made matzah from that, then it'll be an extra humor. I'm just wondering.
No, so if you, that's the thing. So now we're going to talk about, can you use that for matzah?
Okay.
So the Gemara tells, Yosef Rav Papa Rav Huna B'Reide Rav Shua Kameh Rav Idi Bar Ovin. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna B'Reide Rav Shua are sitting as Talmidim in front of Rav Idi Bar Ovin. But Yosef Rav Idi Bar Ovin become a namnim. Rav Idi Bar Ovin was sitting and taking a nap. Now, later on, we're going to mention that they had a discussion, the two Talmidim had a discussion between themselves, and then in the middle of the discussion, Rav Idi Bar Ovin woke up, which is why it's important to mention he's taking a nap. But Bechlal, why is it mentioned? This isn't, there's a number of places in Shas where it mentions the Talmidim are sitting in front of a Rebbe and he's taking a nap. Why is it important to know? There might be a couple of reasons. One reason might be that it shows how dedicated the Rebbe is to teaching, and even when he's so tired, he needs a nap, he's still there, ready to teach his Talmidim. He just maybe has to doze off a couple of minutes, right? The other possibility is it shows how dedicated the Talmidim were. They don't say, oh, the Rebbe's napping, let's go out and have some fun. They're still sitting over there, and then fartifin zich and learning. There is a Gemara in Moed Katan where it tells about Rava, it uses the expression menamnim, and it means he was actually about to pass away. So maybe in this Gemara and in some Gemaras like it, it could mean actually that. It could mean that the Rebbe is near death, but he's still there, still ready to teach his Talmidim. His Talmidim are still ready to learn. And then one last time, he manages to strengthen himself and tell them one last thing. It could be, I don't know. As far as I know, that's the only place in Shas where the word menamnim explicitly means that he's about to pass away. So does it mean that in other places? Anyway. Whatever the case, so the two Talmidim, so the two Talmidim are sitting there and the Rebbe is taking a nap. My time is the Rish Lakish. So Rav Huna B'Reide Rav Shua asked her papa, what is Rish Lakish's reason that was saying that if you make a dough with wine or oil or what have you, then a person is not chayiv kares for eating it? So he says, because the pasuk says, again, the same hekesh that we had before, you're not allowed to eat chametz, and the pasuk continues, you should eat matzah. So before we use the hekesh to say that only things that can become chametz are able to be used for, only the species that can become chametz can be used for matzah. Now Rav Papa is going to turn around the hekesh and say, we're learning from it also the other way around. Only things that you can be yotze matzah with are things that a person is chayiv kares for. So dvarim sha'adam yotzven yidei chayvase b'matzah, only the kind of things with which a person can be yotze the mitzvah of matzah, chayavin achimotze kares, only for those things, if instead they became chametz, he would be chayiv kares for it. V'ha, now when it comes to these things that are made with wine or what have you, hoyol v'ein adam yotze b'yidei chayvase. Now a person cannot be yotze his mitzvah of eating matzah with that, dehavyele matzah ashira, because it's considered rich matzah, and matzah has to be lechem oini. It has to be poor man's bread. So therefore, if you make it with wine or oil or what have you, it's rich man's bread. So therefore, you can't be yotze the mitzvah of matzah with it. Therefore, ein chayavin achimotza kares. Therefore, the parallel, the hekesh would teach us, therefore, that your person is not chayav kares if he eats such a thing. So again, you have your shonim who learn that it might be considered chometz nuksha, and it would be an isu lav, but an isu kares for sure it wouldn't be. There is, by the way, an interesting idea that there's brought in a sicha where the Rebbe discusses this whole idea of matzah ashira and matzah aniya. It seemed the sicha in chelik tesayin, the Rebbe discusses the possibility that maybe the matzah that they ate the first night before they left Mitzrayim was allowed to be matzah ashira, because this concept of calling it lechem oni only comes later. It's only in Chumash Devarim. So maybe then they were allowed to. And then it talks about the deeper ideas, the pnimis and yonim, why that should be, what matzah shida represents, what lachem oni represents. Lachem oni is avoided with kabbalas oil. Matzah shida is avoided with alpi seichel. And the advantage, there's a certain advantage to avoid alpi seichel in that once you have it's firm in your seichel that this is the right thing to do, then you're not going to be you're not going to be dissuaded from it as easily, as opposed to, which is why the Pnimius in Yonim, why we're saying it can't become true chametz, as opposed to lechem oni, you only have Kabbalah's oil. It's unfortunately very easy for a person to lose that and decide I can't be bothered, and then you have chametz, and then it goes on with the whole sicha. But anyway, in the course of it, he mentions an interesting idea that the Maharal brings in a sefer Gvuras Hashem, which is a sefer that explains the Pnimius about many details of the Yom Tov of Pesach, about Geula in general. Anyway, he has an idea there. Suppose a person only has matzah ashira available on Pesach night. Let's say a person only has egg matzah available, assuming that's kosher the Pesach egg matzah, that is. Okay. So he says maybe he should eat it anyway. Fine, he won't be yotze the mitzvah of lechem oni, but at least he's fulfilling the mitzvah of be'erev toichlu matzahs. Lamaisa, most of the other posts can disagree with that and say you can't be yotze with it, period. So, but there is such an interesting idea that the Maharal mentions. Anyway. Going
because
he says, because there's two different things. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah, and then specifically there's a mitzvah to eat lechem oni. So when you eat regular matzah made from flour and water, then you yotze both. But he argues if all you have is matzah ashira, at least eat that. At least then you're being mekayim the mitzvah of eating matzah.
But why? Because it has
because it has juice. Therefore, it's not lechem oni. Oh. Yeah, because lechem oni means it's poor man's bread, means it's only flour and water. Yeah. So that's where Papa is saying, that's where we learn. So we see from that pasuk that matzah made with made peiros cannot be used for the mitzvah of matzah. At least it can't be used for the mitzvah of lechem oni. Therefore, we learn from the hekesh with that with chametz that it doesn't become chametz that a person is chayiv kares for either. But then Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua says to the Papa, in that case, I have a cash on you. We learn in a braisa. If a person dissolves chametz ugmoy and then he swallows it down, or not chametz, if a person takes in general, a person takes whether bread or matzah, as the case may be, and dissolves it in water and swallows it, im chametz, if that bread originally was chametz, onush kares, then he's still chayiv kares, even though it's not eating it in the normal way, because it's drinking it, it's swallowing it, and that's considered like eating.
It's also most.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily most, but you have some people can't eat solids, and therefore they do that. On the other hand, if it was matzah, then he's not yotze the mitzvah of matzah with that. Now, why not? So here you have an example. There's not a connection. You're seeing he's not yotze matzah with it, but he still is chayev kares for it. So you see, there's not necessarily a connection between those two things like you want to say. Now, obviously, one answer could be it's different because here it was originally chametz, and you're not going to say it loses the status of chametz just because it was dissolved. There's a couple of different achronim talk about different possibilities on this, and one answer is that yes, Rav Papa might well have answered that, except that then, as the Gemara continues, is going to go on, Rav Idi Breder of Avin woke up at that point and told them a different answer. So it abahu Rav Idi Bar Avin. At that point, Rav Idi Bar Avin woke up. Amalahu, he says to them, Daudeti. A younger life, like you don't really understand the real reasons of things. Hainu time of the Rish Lakish. The reason why Rish Lakish is saying you're not yotze with matzah made with juice is not so much because it's matzah ashira, but because mishum dehavelu made peiros. Because this is made peiros we're talking about over here. Made peiros ein machmitzin, and like we just said, made peiros do not make it chametz, and therefore that's why Rish Lakish had said that. So Rish Lakish hadn't been talking about eating it for matzah. Rish Lakish had been talking about whether you chayiv kares for it. So now the reason why we thought, so the Papa was saying the reason why it's not considered chametz to be chayiv kares is because you can't use it for matzah. Rav Idi Bar Avin and then Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua said, yeah, but you see, there's not necessarily a connection. So Rav Idi Bar Avin is saying, you're right, there isn't really a connection. The reason why Rish Lakish said in the first place that it's not chayiv kares is because it's not complete, it's because it's not chametz. So therefore, he's not chayiv kares. We're eating chametz. As far as matzah, that's a separate thing. It's true you can't use it for matzah, but that's not directly connected. It's not because you can't use it for matzah. Therefore, a person is not chayiv kares for eating it. It's rather that there are two different din. There's one din that you can't use it for matzah because then it would be matzah ashira, and matzah has to be lechem oni. And there's a separate din that since made peiros ein machmitzin, then it's not chametz. So now, again, Tosfos explains over here that there still would be a lav in it, even though it's only made Paris. And also Tosfos discusses that, then Tosfos goes on to discuss that maybe not. Maybe actually, maybe what it is, and here you have the famous thing, if a little bit of water is mixed into the dough, then actually what happens is, if you have juice and water together, then it becomes chametz even faster than regular dough. So then what you have, so in other words, and this is how it's brought lahalacha and Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to eat dough that was made with only juice, because you have the opinion of Rashi over here that says that would become chametz and maybe even become chametz faster. It might be only chametz nuksha, but even chametz nuksha is still also as a lav.
Which means hard, right?
Nuksha literally means hard, but it means any kind of thing that's not complete chametz, that's not full-fledged chametz, but it's still a type of chametz. We're going to learn about it in more detail in the next paragraph, Bez Hashem. But if it was made with only water, well, then obviously if it became chametz, then it's chametz. And if not, then it's matzah. And then you have, if it was made with juice and a little bit of water, then we say also it becomes, like Tosfos is saying over here, it becomes chametz even faster than regular. The pashtus, I guess, because the juice helps promote what the yeasts are doing in there, whatever it is exactly. So therefore, then you end up with, even if it takes less than 18 minutes, it still becomes chametz, and therefore you're not going to be allowed to eat it.
When you think juice, that's not machmitz, you need 100% juice and no water added to it.
So that would have to be, if we're talking about when it's only juice, yeah, it would have to mean only juice with nothing else added, right?
Then it has the opposite effect.
So what we're saying is,
100% juice.
So what we're saying, 100% juice is, according to Rashi, it will become chametz, just only chametz nuksha. It won't be full-fledged chametz. It'll just be the kind of chametz that's only also as a lav rather than as kares, which is where what the pashtus of the Gemara is saying over here. According to Tosfos, the vote is 100% fruit juice, it wouldn't become chametz at all, not full chametz and not chametz nuksha. However, if it was juice with a little bit of water, then it would become chametz. Yeah. And it would become chametz even quicker, yeah. Okay. So the mission is, and then again, as far as being yotze matzah with it, that not, because it needs to be lechem oni. Right. So in other words, that's according to everybody. So in other words, what it comes out is, the nafkamina is during the rest of Pesach. The nafkamina is during the rest of Pesach. If we say that May Peiris is not machmitzin when there's no water mixed in, like Tosfos said, it would mean the rest of Pesach, for example, you'd be allowed to eat egg matzah. If you say that May Peiris might be machmitz, at least as chametz nuksha, like Rashi says, then you wouldn't be able to eat it the rest of Pesach either, because the rest of Pesach, you're not allowed to eat chametz nuksha. But yeah, as far as being yotze the first night, only the Maharal says that maybe you could be yotze with it, because at least you're not yotze lachem oni, but you're yotze at least the mitzvah, but erev toch l'matzos, but the consensus of poskim is not like him. The Mishnah had said yotze with dmai over ma'aseh v'chola. We said you can be yotze the mitzvah of matzah with dmai. So the question is, why? Dmai holy chazilei. You're not allowed to eat dmai unless you take ma'aseh from it. And late at the bottom of the omelet, so it actually gives two reasons why you shouldn't be able to. Again, we mentioned before. Number one, because we have a limud at the bottom of the omelet that when there's some other issu involved, then you can't use it aside from the potential issu chametz, then you can't use it for matzah. And here there is, because it's an issu to eat tevel, and it might be tevel. The other reason is because it might be a mitzvah bar baveda. A number of Rishonim actually talk about that mitzvah bar baveda point. They say maybe it wouldn't be considered a mitzvah bar baveda, which is why the Gemara needs to give a limud later on. There's a few possibilities. Maybe, among others, there's a lot of possibilities that Rishonim discuss. Maybe mitzvah bar baveda only applies to certain kind of mitzvahs that are coming to be mechaper for us, or to make us beloved by Hashem, or whatever. For example, it talks about shofar as a mitzvah bar baveda, because the blowing of the shofar is meant to show that we're accepting Hashem as king, and that Hashem is ready to forgive us our avedas. Because it reminds us of Matan Torah and brings us to Truva, etc. You have a lulav, you have a couple of certain mitzvahs where it says mitzvah bar baveda. Not necessarily would it apply to matzah, where it's not that type of mitzvah. That's one possibility that Rishonim bring up. Another possibility is maybe it's only a mitzvah bar baveda when you wouldn't have been able to have the mitzvah without the avera. As, for example, let's say you have a person steals matzah, for example, that would be a mitzvah bar baveda. He wouldn't have matzah otherwise, but matzah of dmai is not necessarily, there's other matzah available. So there's a couple of different possibilities that they talk about why Rashi is saying over here that it would be mitzvah bar baveda, but not everybody agrees to that. Anyway, the question is, but you still, even is one way or another, you wouldn't be allowed to eat dmai. So then why are we saying that you could? The answer is kibben boy mafkir l'nichse, because if the person wanted it, he could be mafkir all of his possession, have a oni, then he would be a poor person, but oichol d'may, and now he's allowed to eat d'may, therefore hashtanami chazile, even now, since d'may is only a chumad d'rabbanon, because roiv ame aretz, take ma'aser, then therefore we allow him to even now. Tosfos discusses, though, does that mean that only b'dieved, or are we saying that even l'chatchila, given that he could be mafkir as nechasim, then maybe even l'chatchila he'd be able to use matzah of d'may. Okay, Tosfos isn't sure about that. Anyway, so
is mafkir as nechasim? Then he's eating the matzah and he takes it back. It's not a subterfuge.
Well, I mean, midaraisa, a person can be mafkir as nechasim, even not in the presence of other people. Midarabanan, you have to be mafkir in front of three people. Fine, but okay, so maybe maybe pre-arranges with them or whatever. The point is not that he's actually going to be mafkir as nechasim, but hypothetically he could. So therefore, that makes it enough. That's enough for it to be considered that it's suitable for him to eat. The Tanan, as we learn in a Mishnah, you're allowed to feed poor people d'may, because again, it's only a chumah d'rabbanan. The esach sanya d'may, you're also allowed to feed achsanya d'may. Now, there's a few possibilities. Rashi defines that achsanya means Jewish soldiers. The people in town are obligated to give them food because, after all, the soldiers protect them from their enemies. So therefore, so those Jews, they're considered poor because they're not at home. Therefore, you're allowed to feed them d'may just like you would poor people. Tosfos gives an explanation from the Yerushalmi that means goyish soldiers. In other words, the point is, if it was actual tevel, you wouldn't be allowed to, because you're not allowed to. Tevel is mutar b'hana, but not when it's Tosfos discusses a couple of blocks earlier. Not when it's a hana shokiloyin. Not when it's a hana that involves destroying the tevel, as in this case, they're going to eat it. And also, you're not allowed to pay off a debt using tevel. And over here, you're paying off a debt because you owe them a certain amount of food. And like this, you'd be paying it with tevel. But d'may, you're allowed to. And then there's a third possibility that a couple of Rishonim bring, that achsanya just means guests. It means stam guests that you have. They're considered, like Rashi says over here, like poor people, because they're not at home and they don't have the comforts of home accessible to them. Whatever the case, so you're allowed to. So you're allowed to feed them d'may. So in other words, the point is the same thing over here. This person could be mafkir as nechasim, and then he's allowed to eat d'may. By the way, we had this discussion already a couple of times before. We had it in Brachas in connection with that the Mishnah describes over there what kind of food a person can have eaten and be chayev in a mezuman, and be chayev in the mitzvah of benching, and therefore in mezuman. And it gave the same list as we have in the Mishnah, d'may and my solution to the trumasa, etc. And the Gemara went through pretty much the same discussion over there. And also in Eruvin, when we talked about that you can use d'may and my solution to the trumasa, etc., for an Eruv. So now we have it again, and now we have it again as far as that you can use it for matzah. So for Omer Rav Huna, so Rav Huna says, by the way, you should know, Tana, we learn in a b'raisa, Ves Shama, I mean, Eid Ma'achil and Asani and D'may, Ves Achsani D'may. Ves Shama says you cannot feed poor people or Achsanya D'may, so according to them, you couldn't use it for matzah either. Ves Hillel, I mean, Ma'achil, Ves Hillel says you could. Now, why is it important for us to know what Ves Shama holds? The halacha is not like Ves Shama anyway. One point is, Tosfos mentions in one of those previous sugyas, if you ever find a braisa that says that you're not, that aniyim are not allowed to eat d'may, then you should know it's according to Ves Shama. Yeah. Okay. Next, we said, my surishin shenitzel trumasim. There's a mission actually in Adius that says something similar, that the mission in Adius says, why do we mention an opinion, la halacha, why do we mention an opinion in a mission or a braisa if it's not accepted la halacha anyway? And one reason is because Rabbi Yehuda mentions a reason, even you have, let's say, a yochid against the rabbim, and we know the halacha is going to be like the rabbim. So this way, if in the future somebody comes and says, I heard from my rebbe, the halacha is such and such, you tell them, yeah, that's only according to that yochid. You should know the halacha is like the rabbim. So similarly over here, yeah.
Everyone agrees that tevel
you can't. So everybody agrees that tevel you can't, right. So that's it.
When do we say that Beis Hillel always mentions Beis Shammai first and then mentions, that's not...
There's a Mishnah in Sukkah that mentions that one time Zikne Beis Shammai and Zikne Beis Hillel went to visit Rabbi Yechon ben Achironi, and they found his table was outside of Sukkah, and they had a discussion about it. Yeah, so the point is that Beis Hillel is telling the story because they're trying to show it as a proof for their opinion, and they mentioned Zikne Beis Shammai first in the story. But also, in general, in Mishnayos, usually when we have the two opinions, we usually have Beis Shammai first and then Beis Hillel.
To tell you that the last
commandment. That shows, in other words, the Gemara mentions in Eruvin that Beis Hillel were noichin ba'aluvim, that they didn't care if people insulted them, and they were humble, they were mocked, they put Beis Shammai ahead of themselves, and therefore they had the source that the halacha was established like that most of the time.
Because in Rashi it said that when a soup shop usually go to
that's something else. Halacha kabasura, that's when you have later a later opinion. I mean, that's it. Okay. Next. So the point is, in other words, again, so jamai, you're not allowed to eat it usually. You have to take ma'aser from it. But in principle, you could make it roi to be eaten by making, by being mafkir your nechasim. Therefore, you're able to eat it as matzah. Again, Tosfos says maybe only b'dieved or maybe actually lechatchila. Okay. Next.
So ma'aser Shabbos is the same way you can use it for...
Ma'aser ishin shenitha truma. Next, we said you can use ma'aser ishin where the truma was taken. So the question is, pshita, obviously, once the Levi takes out trumas ma'aser and gives it to the Kohen, the rest of the ma'aser ishin, the remainder of the 9% that remains, that is all his. And it's chulin. Anybody can eat it. The answer is, the chiddush is, the Mishnah is talking about where the Levi came and took ma'aser ishin while it was still in the stalks before they did miruach. Now the order is, the proper order is supposed to be, the farmer harvests the grain, threshes it, etc. Eventually he makes a stack of the grain, of clean grain, does miruach, he smooths out the side of the pile. At that point it becomes chayev in truma and ma'aser. The order now is supposed to be, at that point the kohen comes and gets truma, which is anywhere between 1/40th and 1/60th, depending how generous or stingy the farmer is. Then the Levi comes and takes 1/10 of what's left, and that's my submission. And out of that, he gives 1/10 of what he got to the Kohen. Then comes Maisa Sheni or Maisa Oni, depending on the year, which is 10% of what's left. So in other words, if you start out with 100 bushels, for example, the Kohen comes and takes approximately 2%, is supposed to be how it goes.
Which is
2%, or 2 out of 100. 2 out of 100 is 1/50. The average is 1/50. You're not supposed to measure it exactly. You have to estimate it. Then a generous farmer gives a little more, 1/40. A stingy farmer gives a little less, 1/60. Whatever. The point is, it's around 2%, give or take. Then the Levi is supposed to come and take 10% of what's left. So he's going to get 9.8, which is 10% of 98. Out of that, he's going to give 0.98 to the Kohen. So just under one. So the Kohen is going to wind up with just under 3 units of out of the 100, 2 from Truma and 1 from Truma and a little less than 1 from Truma's Meiser. Then the rest that the Levi has, the remaining just under 9 that he has now after giving the Kohen his portion is now complete Cholin. Then you have the farmer now has about 88% left after he did Truma and Meiser Rishon. At that point, he takes 1/10 out of that, so about 8.8, and gives it, and either it's Meiser Sheni in 4 out of every 7 years, or Meiser Oni, which he gives to the poor people, 2 out of every 7 years, and then the 7th year, of course, is Shemitah. And that's that. The rest of it, the remainder that he has, about 79%, is complete Cholin.
So other years, he doesn't have to give all these Meisers?
So Truma and Meiser Rishon are every year. The Meiser Sheni or Meiser Oni is Meiser Sheni is in the 1st, 2nd, 4th, and 5th year. Meiser Oni is in the 3rd and 6th year.
So there's no year that there's.
Well, Shemitah, there's nothing. Shemitah, everything is hefker.
No, but between those 6 years, they're always giving.
There's
either,
always
either going to Meiser Oni
or Meiser Sheni, right. The difference is Meiser Sheni, the owner himself keeps. He takes it to Yerushalayim and eats it there, or he's paid it for money and he takes the money to Yerushalayim and buys food with it over there and eats it. Meiser Oni, you just give it to the Oni. Anyway,
you're talking about a normal case. What about this, our case with the Levi comes
and so now I'm going to explain our case. The case over here is before the farmer finished threshing the grain, while it's still in stalks, after he harvested it, while it's still in stalks, at that point, the Levi came and took his Meiser Ishin. So now what happens is his Meiser Ishin now is a full 10% of the crop. So in our scenario before, instead of getting 9.8, he's getting full 10. Now, the din is, as we're going to say, so he still has to give Trumas Maisu out of it to the Kohen. The Kohen is still getting 1% out of it. But when it comes to giving Truma Gdola to the Kohen, the 2% that's supposed to go to the Kohen, that's only going to be given from the remaining 90 and not from the Levi's 10. That's the point. In other words, what we're going to have is, in this case, the Kohen is going to be losing out a little bit. The Kohen, instead of getting like this, if he had gotten Truma in the normal order, we're saying he would have gotten 2. Like this, instead he gets 1.8, which is 1/50th of 90, instead of 1/50th of 100, which would be 2. So he's getting 1.8 instead. And then from the Levi, he's getting 1. So he ends up with 2.8, whereas if things had been done in the right order, he would have ended up with 2.98. So he loses out. So the Levi gains a little bit at the expense of the Kohen. The point is, that's the point, in other words, that the Levi does not have to take from his Meiser Ishin, doesn't have to take, in addition, another 2% rather, and give it to the Kohen, which would be Truma Gola, he only has to give 10% of what he got as Truma Smeiser.
That way he's saving
them. That's, so that way he's gaining a little bit, right? So that's the point. So Lloyd Sricha Sheikh Dima Vashibol, where the Levi came while the grain was still on the stalks, the Nitlai Men, it's Trumas Meiser. So he took Trumas Meiser from his Meiser Rishon, he took out the 10%, which is 1% of the original crop, and gave it to the Kohen. V'loi Nitlai Men, it's Truma Gdola. He did not take Truma Gdola out of it in addition and give it to the Kohen. V'chidra Babohu, and the reason why that works, and now he's able to eat to the, and he's able to eat the Meiser Rishon, and it's considered Cholin, is based on what Rabbi Bohu said. Exactly that. If my serishin was taken from the stalks rather than from after miruach was done, potter mitzruma gdola, that my serishin is potter from truma gdola. The farmer only gives truma gdola from the rest of the crop that he has left after the levy took his portion. The levy does not have to take truma gdola out of the part that he took. He only has to take trumas meiser out of it.
So it's an encouragement. It's an encouragement for the Levi to steal. Is that what you're saying?
It's not an encouragement. I mean, we're not saying the Levi is allowed to do it. In fact, we actually use the expression "herdi my Levi." The Levi played a trick. I mean, obviously, you know, the right thing to do would be for the farmer to tell the Levi, "I'm sorry, I'm not ready for you to take your Meiser Rishon yet. Come back and take it another time." But we're talking about if he allowed him to, not knowing maybe that he wasn't supposed to or whatever. He was in a rush. Whatever it was exactly. That Meiser Rishon will be potter from Truma Gdola. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, so the Pasuk says to the Levim, out of your Meiser Rishon, you have to take off a Truma for Hashem, Meiser out of the Meiser, which is a tenth of what you yourself got as one tenth, so 100th, meaning Meiser, I'm only saying you have to take Meiser, and I'm Meiser, like Truma Gdola, Trumas Meiser, and I'm Meiser. You don't have to take Truma Gdola as well from your Meiser Rishon. So that's the case our Mishnah is talking about. So if it was the regular case where the Levi took Meiser Rishon after Truma Gdola was taken, then there's no Chiddush. As soon as he takes out Trumas Meiser, then the rest of it is Mutter Tekoyim. The Chiddush is, the Mishnah wants us to know, and again, similar Mishnayos that we have in Brachos and in Erevin that discuss this, that mention this point, the Mishnah is hinting to us this idea that even though the Levi acted wrongly and the farmer acted, Yisrael acted wrongly by allowing him to do it, and he took the Meiser Rishon ahead of time, but nevertheless, the fact is he's not going to be in taking Truma Gdola out of that Meiser Rishon. And therefore, once he takes out Trumas Meiser, then that's it. The rest of it is Cholin, and he's allowed to eat it, and anybody's allowed to eat it.
He referred to Yisrael.
Meaning the Levi, but also to Yisrael. Anybody can eat the Meiser Rishon once everything's been taken out. However, the Papa asked Abaya, Ela Me'ata, by that logic, if we're learning from the Pasuk that the Levi only has to give Trumas Meiser from his Meiser Rishon, and that he doesn't have to give Truma Gdola from it. By that logic, Elameata, Afilo Dima Bakri Nami Lifter, then what happens? Even the farmer already did Miruach, he made a stack of grain, and then the Levi comes and takes the Meiser Rishon. Shouldn't you say the same thing, that he doesn't have to take Truma Gdola from it? And in fact, that's not the case, as we're going to say soon. If the Levi took not from when it was in stalks, but he took after it was made into a pile and Miruach was done, then he comes and takes his Meiser Rishon from it, then he is actually obligated to give 2% as Truma, as well as 10% for Meiser Rishon, for Trumas Meiser.
Okay, I'm lost with a different.
Okay, so
pile of one. Miruach, okay, is throwing
out. Miruach is smoothing out the pile of grain. Okay. You have a pile of clean grain.
It grows, you cut it.
Okay, so you have like this. You harvest the grain, then you. You harvest means you cut it from the ground, yeah. After that, then you bind it up into sheaves. That's the most. These are the first few malachas. You have a coat. You have a kotzer is harvesting. Then you have a ma'amer is binding it into bundles. Okay. That's a separate malacha. Then you have a dosh, which is you thresh it, which is you break. You're using animals or whatever to break open the shells around the kernel. Then you have zodas. You winnow it. You throw it up in the ground, and the shells blow away, and you have clean grain. After all of that, then you have a pile of clean grain, then you make a stack of it in your barn, and you smooth out the sides of the stack. That's called miruach. At that point, Gmar Malacha is done with that grain. At that point, that grain is chayiv in Truma and Meiser. Now, what we're saying is, if the Levi came and took his Meiser Rishon before the miruach was done, so at some point after the harvest, but before, whether before they did the winnow, before it was mechayiv, right? So before he made the stack and smoothed it out, then we're saying he's only obligated to give Trumas Maaser from it, not Truma. He doesn't have to give his proportion of Truma Gdola from it. So therefore, the Kohen ends up losing out a little bit. On the other hand, if it comes after the clean grain has been made into a pile and smoothed out, where at that point becomes Chayiv and Maaser, then the halacha is he has to give Trumas Maaser. He has to give both Truma and Trumas Maaser from his portion. So then what will happen is, again, he came and took 10%, whereas like this, if he had come at the proper time, he would have gotten a little less. He has to now take and give 0.2 of that to the Kohen, which is 1/50th of that, as well as he has to give the Kohen the regular Trumas Maaser that he would give, which is 1%. So he's giving the Kohen in that case 1.2%.
Kohen's still getting a little less.
The Kohen is still now the Kohen is getting everything he should, because from the farmer he's also getting the rest of the Truma Gdola. The farmer is going to give him 1.8%. The Levi is going to give him 1.2 or a tiny bit less than 1.2, whatever, and he's going to end up with the same 3% that he would have ended up with if things were done in the proper order. Whereas if the Levi came while it was still in stalks, then the Kohen is losing out. Then instead of about 3%, then he's getting about 2.8%. So that's the thing. Rav Papa is asking Abaya, if we're learning from the Pasuk that the Levi is Potter from Truma, because we're learning from the Pasuk that from his Maaser Rishon he only has to give Trumas Maaser, then why don't we apply the same thing after it was Mechoyev and Maaser? Why are we saying then that the Levi is required to give Truma from his portion? Amalei, so he answers, Alecha Amakra, to answer you, the Pasuk says, Mikol Machneseichem Torimu Eis Kol Trumas Hashem. On the other hand, you have another Pasuk in that same section at the end of Parshas Chukas, a few Pasukim later than the previous one, that says, from all of your presents, again, still speaking to the Levim, you should give all of the Truma of Hashem. So we see, in other words, that there's a case where the Levi has to give all of the kinds of Truma, meaning both Truma Gdola and Truma Smaiser, out of his portion. So the question is, Omar Isa, what's the logic? Okay, if we have two Pesukim, one of them implying that the Levi doesn't have to give Truma Gdola, another one implying that he does, why are we applying one to the case when it's still in stalks and the other one to when it was clean grain? Why not the other way around, Rashi says? Or in one of the other Sugyas, Tosfos says the question isn't why the other way around. The question is, why don't we say that both of them maybe both Pesukim are talking about, maybe we would say that in both of those cases, we'd still say he's Chayev, or in both of those cases, we'd still say he's Potter, and we'd apply the other Pesuk to something else. So how do we know that not? The answer is because the logic is high idgan v'high le idgan, because the logic is when it's already in a pile, then it became dogon. At that point, it's racious. At that point, it's called dogon, and the halacha of having to give truma from it, where you need to give racious goncha, kicks in and starts applying. Whereas before that, it wasn't yet considered dogon. Therefore, it's more logical to say that the pasuk implying that the levi is potter from giving truma should apply to that case.
No, he gave you three. The lady that collected it before was Chayiv.
Before it was Chayiv, it wasn't yet considered Dagon, so it's not yet Chayiv and Truma. Therefore, it's more logical to say that if there's a Pasuk saying that he's Potter from giving Truma, then that would be the case that it's talking about. As opposed to once it became Dagon, once it became Chayiv and Truma, it's more logical to say that the Pasuk that it implies that he has to give Truma is talking about that case. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah Maaser Sheni v'Hekdesh Sheniftu v'Chola, we said that you can eat matzah from grain that was from Maaser Sheni or Hekdesh that were redeemed. So the question is Pshita. Again, once you redeem Maaser Sheni or once you redeem Hekdesh, it's complete cholin. Of course, you could eat it. The answer is Hachav Maaskinen. The case the Mishnah is talking about is Shenosan es Akeren v'lo Nosan es Achaymish. He paid when it comes to redeeming Maaser Sheni of your own or Hekdesh of your own, you have to pay an extra chaymish, an extra 25%. But he paid the keren, he didn't pay the chaymish. But kamash malam, there ain't chaymish ma'akev. So the Mishnah wants us to know that the chaymish is not ma'akev. Midrabanan, it is actually, but midaraisa, it's not. And therefore, at this point, he's allowed to use the grain. So he had grain that was ma'aser sheni. He gave the keren, he didn't yet give the chaymish. He's allowed to use that grain at this point for matzah.
And he owes the chaymish.
He owes the chaymish at some later point, right? Okay.
In the case of
Maaser Sheni, the chaymish also has to be taken to your shalayim and then used to buy food over there. In the case of Hekdesh, the chaymish also has to go to Hekdesh. Okay. Then we said that koinim chala over truma. We said the koinim can use chala or truma for their matzah. So the question is pshita. Obviously, they're allowed to eat it. What's the problem? The answer is maor detema matzah shavah l'chol adamein. Maybe we require that the matzah should be something that of a type of grain that could be eaten by anybody. and only Kohenim can eat Truma and Challah. So maybe it shouldn't be good even for them. Kamash Malan, Matzos Riba. Therefore, the Mishnah wants us to know, because it says many times in the Pasuk that you have to eat Matzos, so that's a riboy, that any kind of matzos is allowed, even if it's the kind that only some people can eat. Which in this case, we're talking about Challah, Truma, which only a Kohen can eat, right?
So
if a Yisrael were to do it, he wouldn't. If a Yisrael were to use Chala or Truma, he wouldn't be Yotze. Again, either because of the mitzvah Abba Baveira or because of the limud that we're going to have at the bottom of the Amud, that we're going to say that anything where there's some other Issu involved, then you're not Yotze Matzah with it. And here there's a separate Issu involved. But the Kohenim are allowed to, because neither of those considerations apply. Yeah. Okay. We set up a little bit of Tevel. We say you're not allowed to use Tevel. So the question is pshita. Obviously, you're not allowed to eat tevel, so obviously you can't use it for matzah. And again, either of these problems would exist. Either you have a different issur involved with it, so therefore that would prevent it from being used for matzah, or it's mitzvah bar baveira. So the answer is lo tzricha b'tevel tovel midrabanan. The chiddushes we're talking about where it's only tevel midrabanan. In which, what's the case with drabanan? Shazored ba'otit shein inoku. For example, if the grain was grown in a flower pot without a hole, where since it doesn't have a hole, as we've learned in a number of places before, in Shabbos and some other places, it's not considered attached to the ground. Therefore, the grain that grows in it, or whatever grows in it, is only chayiv in shurma and ma'isim midrabanan. So therefore, so you would think it's only midrabanan. Maybe it's not a problem. Rashi says it's still a mitzvah bar baveira. Dmai before that we said on the Amud, there's a way to be matter it, but because by being mafkir in a chasim here, there's no way to be matter it without actually taking truma and ma'aser from it.
There's no way out.
Therefore, there's no way out. Therefore, that's called a mitzvah bar baveira. Right? Yeah. Okay. Then we said v'lo b'ma'aser rishon shalom nitzah truma. So you can't use ma'aser rishon where the truma wasn't taken. So the question is pshita. Obviously, again, b'pashtus we mean where the Levi didn't take truma. Trumas Meiser, and as long as he doesn't, then that Meiser Rishon is still considered Tevel, and he's not allowed to eat it, and nobody's allowed to eat it. And the answer is, the Chiddush is about similar in the case that the second case we talked about before, where he came ahead of the Kohen after it was already made into a pile and smoothed out. And then we said before, the din is that in order for him to be able to eat this Meiser Rishon, he's going to have to give his proportion of Truma Gdola as well as his Truma Smeister from it. And without that, he can't eat it. So Mao de Tame could omelet a Papa Labaya. Without the Mishnah telling us, you would have thought, like a Papa asked Abaya, maybe it should be Mutter in that case also. Kamash Malan, Kiddushani lay. Therefore, the Mishnah wants to tell us that no, the answer that Abaya gave him is the correct answer. In that case, he's not allowed to eat the Meiser Rishon unless he takes out his portion of Truma Gdola and the Truma Smeister and gives them to the Kohen. No. Without that, it's still Tevel.
You can infer the backward from the first.
No, but that's the thing. With the first one, we would have known that if he's Ikdimi B'Shibolim, then he's allowed to. We wouldn't know that also in the case of Ikdimi B'Kri, because that's what we're saying. Papa asked Abaya, maybe it should be the other way around, or maybe like Tosfos says, the same din should apply to both of them. How do we know that there are different dinim for each one of them and that the din is like this? Ikdimi B'Shibolim is Potter, Ikdimi B'Kri is Chayev. Therefore, the Mishnah is implying to us by the second statement. We said in the mission of Elohim, Ma'aseh Sheni v'Hekdesh l'Niftuh Cholah, we said you can't use Ma'aseh Sheni v'Hekdesh that were not redeemed. So again, the question is Pshita. Obviously, you're not allowed to, because then Ma'aseh Sheni is not allowed to be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. Hekdesh, you're not allowed to eat at all. It'd be Moyel v'Hekdesh, yeah. So the answer is Lo'olam the Niftuh. We are actually talking about where they were redeemed, or Ma'aseh Niftuh, but what does the mission mean? They weren't redeemed, means Shalom Niftuh Kil Chosan. They weren't redeemed according to the halachas that they have respectively. Namely, in the case of Ma'aseh Sheni, you have, he redeemed it, but instead of using coined money, instead he used uncoined metal. He used a blank piece of metal, or blank pieces of metal of the proper value to be put to Ma'aseh Sheni. Now, why didn't that work? The Pasuk says you should bundle up the money, but we also understand the word Vitsauta to be related to the word Tsura, Dabar Sheyeshlet Tsura. You have to be Mechalo Ma'aseh Sheni only on coins, that only on metal that actually has a coin, that actually has a coinage on it, that actually has something stamped onto it, so not an Asimoin.
Even if the Asimoin is worth more.
What? Even if the Asimon is worth more, yeah. The fact that it doesn't have a Tzura. Yeah, by the way, there was an opinion on Mishnah in Adius mentions Reb Dosa allows it, but the Chum disagree, and the Halacha is like the Chum. So therefore, so in this case, if he used an Asimon, he thought he was poured to this Ma'aseh Sheni, but he wasn't. It's still considered Ma'aseh Sheni. Therefore, he can't use it for Matzah. And the Hekdesh, in the case of a Hekdesh, an example would be if he was Mechalel using land. And that doesn't work. The Pasuk says you give the money and the thing becomes yours. Is that not actually the Lashon HaPasuk? We've learned before that that's actually the Gemara is paraphrasing. The Gemara is shortening the Pasuk and giving us the essential part of it. But the point is that we have all over Shas, that's the where we learn from, that a hektish cannot be redeemed with karka. Tosfos discusses over here, basically what you have is a klal of prat klal. It has to be something which is metalklin and something which is which has an intrinsic value. So not karka, not avodim, because there's a hekesh between avodim and karka, and not shtaris, because shtaris are not intrinsically valuable. It's just what's written on them that has value. So you can't be poida hektish with any of those things. So a person was poida hektish with any of those things, he thinks he was poida, but he wasn't. And the Mishnah is telling us he can't use that grain, he can't use that flour for matzah. We learn in a braisa, you would think a person could be yotze in the mitzvah of matzah with tevel that had not been corrected, meaning that truma and meiser hadn't been taken. And the Gemara interjects, what do you mean? Called tevel nami holy nitkan. The definition of tevel is that the takana wasn't done, that truma and meiser wasn't taken. El of a tevel shel nitkan called sokoi. What we mean is tevel that was incompletely fixed up. They did some of the things, but not all. Shenitlam met a trum of doyla, v'lo nitlam met a trum as meiser. Let's say they took trum of doyla, but not yet trum as meiser, or meiserishin, v'lo meisersheni, or they took meiserishin, but not meisersheni, v'afilu meiseroni, even meiseroni, which has no kedusha at all. At least meiserishin you have within it is the trumas meiser, which goes to the koyin and has the dinim of truma. Meisersheni has kedusha. You can't eat outside of your shalayim. You can't eat it when you're an oinin, etc., etc. Meiseroni has no kedusha at all. You would think it's not ma'akiv. No. It is ma'akiv. Tamud loyma. Therefore, the pasuk says loyseichel olav chametz. The pasuk says you should not eat chametz during Pesach. Meaning, and then it continues again, like we said before, with the mitzvah of eating matzah. So the hekesh teaches us misha isurei mishum bal teichel olav chametz. What kind of matzah you're allowed to eat? Only the kind where the only isur on it is the isur of chametz. Yotzezeshe in isurei mishum bal teichel chametz el mishum bal teichel tevel. As opposed to this, where you have a separate isur, the isur of not eating tevel, then you cannot be yotzeit for matzah. So here we have, now here we're not even mentioning the matter of mitzvah abav aveda. So this is what I was saying before, that you have Rishonim who explain that maybe it's not considered mitzvah abav aveda because not the type of mitzvah that is coming to be miratze in front of Hashem, or maybe because it's not there's not an intrinsic connection between the aveda and the mitzvah, and we'd only say mitzvah abav aveda only where without the aveda you wouldn't have been able to do the mitzvah at all, etc. Intrinsic means that it's some part of it itself. Like without doing the Aveda, you wouldn't be able to do the mitzvah at all. For example, let's say a person steals a lulav and uses it. So without stealing it, he wouldn't have a lulav at all. As opposed to over here, there's other matzah available. So based on all of that, it might be that mitzvah bar Aveda doesn't apply in this case. And that's why the Gemara needs a separate limit for it. But the Gemara asks, so how does that work? What do you mean? What do you mean a person is not, so what does that mean? Forget about matzah a second. What we're saying is that a person is not chayav for eating chametz if he eats tevel. So why not? Why? Where did the isur of chametz go? The fact is, fine. It's also as tevel. It's also as chametz. What do you mean he's not chayav for eating chametz? He's only chayav for eating tevel. The answer is, Amar Rav Shesh is Hamani Rav Shimon. Okay, you could say this braise is only according to Reb Shimon. The Amar ein isu chal al isu. Reb Shimon holds that one isu is not chal on another one. The Tanya, as we learn in a braise, Reb Shimon Amar ha'oichal nevela b'yemek kippurim potter. He says if a person eats b'shoigig a nevela on yom kippur, he's potter from a chatas because you have the isu of nevela, but you also have the isu of yom kippur. So if it was dead before Yom Kippur, then the Issur of Nevela existed before the Issur of Yom Kippur, and Ein Issur Chal al Issur. And even if it became, so therefore the Issur of Yom Kippur is not Chal on the Issur of Nevela, therefore he's Potter from a Chattas. There's no Chattas for eating Nevela. The Chattas would be for eating on Yom Kippur. Because a Chattas, remember, is only for something that you Chayiv Koris B'mezin. A person eats a Nevela B'mezin, there's no Koris for it, there's no Malkus. So there's no chattas for that. Eating on Yom Kippur is a chiyuv kodes, and b'shoigig brings a chattas. So in this case, so if it was nevela before Yom Kippur, then Reb Shimon would say the issur of Yom Kippur is not chal on top of the issur of nevela, therefore he doesn't bring a chattas. Rashi adds, even if the animal died on Yom Kippur itself, still it was also as Avram and Achai before Yom Kippur, so there was also a separate issur, and therefore Reb Shimon would say that the issur of Yom Kippur is not able to be chal on it. Tosfos actually says that maybe not. I mean, if it died on Yom Kippur, the issur of Eirum and Achai goes away. The issur of Nevela kicks in right as soon as it dies, but the issur of Yom Kippur also does. So it's Shnei Issur and Goyim Ke'echad. And if they come together, even Reb Shimon agrees that works. Okay, Tosfos says that
you
maybe...
You don't say.
Yeah, that Reb Shimon agrees that if they come with Asachas, then they're both Chal. So why would he say over here if it died on Yom Kippur? So Tosfos says, okay, even if the animal died on Yom Kippur, still you would say that there was also an issur on it. There was also, besides for issur of Eivim Achai, when the animal was alive, there was also an issur not to eat an animal that wasn't shechted. And here it wasn't shechted, so that issur still exists from before, and therefore Yom Kippur can't be chal on top of that, says Reb Shimon.
You have two right there.
So therefore, so that's it. So according to Reb Shimon, then he's not chayiv chatas. So we see, in other words, that Shimon holds in Issur Chal al Issur when one Issur comes after the other. And in this case, one Issur existed before Yom Kippur, and the other one came only when Yom Kippur came along. So therefore, so according to him, the same idea, since this thing was Tevel, and now it became Chometz, Ein Issur Chal al Issur, so the Issur of Tevel exists on it, therefore the Issur of Chometz is not able to be Chal, therefore he's not Chayav Karis Sweden. And therefore, applying that, therefore, we know also, we said before, only things that could be also as chametz are things that you could use for matzah. Therefore, according to Reb Shimon, that's why you can't use tevel, even if only one or two of the things was still not taken from it, like ma'aser sheni or ma'aser oni or whatever, nevertheless, you'd still be also to eat it because the issur of tevel still exists on it. And Reb Shimon says, therefore, the issur of chametz is not able to be chal on it.
Is that the halacha?
No, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon. The halacha is issur chal al issur. If the new issur is issur kolol or issur moisif or issur basachas, in this case, issur chometz is an issur kolol over tevel because, for one thing, issur tevel is misa b'dei shemayim, and if some of the matonis were taken out already, then it's only a lab, whereas chometz is an issur koris. Also, chometz is also b'hanna, so that's another reason for it to be considered an issur kolol, or issur moisif, rather, issur moisif, because it's, So Ravina says you don't need that answer. Afilu tamer abanon. You could even say that Braisa is according to the Chachamim, because what the Braisa is saying is Mishi Isur Mishum Baltoch Chometz Bilvad. Because what it means, only if the Isur is exclusively because of Baltoch Chometz, then you could use it for matzah. Yotzeze Sheni Isur Mishum Baltoch Chometz Bilvad El Af Mishum Baltoch Tevel. Here you have two Isurim, Tevel and Chometz. Therefore, the pasuk is implying you can't use it for matzah. So the question is, what kind of an answer is that? Midi bovad ksim. After all, does the pasuk use the word bilvad? It doesn't say loisel chometz bilvad. It just says loisel chometz. So that's not a valid answer. So the Gemara says you're right. Ela machbarta kedushan kedu ela machbarta kedav sheishes. Clearly, the answer has to be like what Rav Sheishes said. That the Braisa is only according to Rav Shimon. According to the Chachamim, and the halacha is like them. If a person eats tevel, which is chometz. That's on Pesach, he would be chayiv koris. We don't say that ain't issu chal al issu. We say the issu is chal. On the other hand, for matzah, we have other reasons, like we said before, in particular mitzvah, abba ba'beira, that therefore you couldn't use tevel for matzah. But chometz, he would be chayiv for.
If you tevel, you're chayiv koris?
So a person eats tevel, is chayiv misa. And if some of the things were taken off the tevel, then it's not misa b'dei shemayim, then it's only a lav. But what we're saying is, if you have tevel that became chometz, and it's any kind of tevel, even if only one matana wasn't taken from it, then we're saying you can't use it for matzah. So according to Reb Shimon, the reason would be, we're saying lamaskana because ein isu chal al isur. The Chachamim don't hold that concept. Nevertheless, the Chachamim say you couldn't because of mitzvah ba b'aveda. Right. Okay. So we'll talk more. Reb Shimon holds a mitzvah b'aveda, but he says you have to have. But that's the thing; he has a limit from pasuk. That's what we were discussing before. That we showed him talk about maybe mitzvah b'aveda might not apply over here because it's not that type of mitzvah, because the aveda is not essential to doing the mitzvah, etc.
Wow, so that's strong word of Shimon has.
So therefore, so right. So, but if we say isu chal isu, then it doesn't matter. It's tevel anyway. So yeah. Okay.
And then we'll.